Hello everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm John Steele, recording very late this week due to real life commitments and everything else, so apologies for that, anyone who's been holding on for the pod this week. This episode is going to be a solo pod from me in the first half, talking about the recent Emperor's Cup action and the last weekend's J2 games in round 22. And then as usual, I'll hand over to Magic Mike Innes. He's going to run you through all the latest J3 news a little bit later. So without further ado, we should talk about the Emperor's Cup round 3 games that took place last midweek and the midweek before that, kind of elongated fixture slate for the Emperor's Cup. Congratulations to Nagasaki and Kyoto, J2 sides who both emerged victorious from games against teams from J1. Kyoto won 2-1 against Kashiwa Reysol at Hitachidai, with Daigo Araki's winner coming in the 89th minute of that game. Meanwhile, Nagasaki scored twice inside the first 7 minutes against Consadole Sapporo at Transcosmos Stadium, and that was enough to earn them a win. That game also finished 2-1. Jubilo Iwata successfully negotiated their game against renowned Giant Killers from non-league Honda FC, eventually winning 4-1. The game of the round was probably Gunma's 3-2 win over Juntendo University in extra time. With just 7 minutes of normal time remaining, the students were 2-0 up and looking ready to celebrate an incredible victory, but then Tatsuya Uchida pulled a goal back for the J2 side, that was in the 83rd minute, and Genki Omai scored a dramatic equaliser in the 94th minute to force the extra period, and then with just 5 minutes to go until the penalty shootout, Akito Takagi scored a winner for Gunma, so it finished, Juntendo University 2, Gunma 3. In other games, Tochigi were beaten 3-0 by Kashima Antlers, and Sagamihara lost 1-0 against Urawa Reds, thanks to a late goal from Kasper Juncker. Both of the J3 sides involved in round 3 gave good accounts of themselves, but eventually lost 2-1. Iwate took the lead against Shimizu Espels at Iwagin Stadium, but couldn't hold on, and eventually, yes, lost 2-1. Hachinohe went behind against Shonan Belmare at Lemongas Stadium, but came back to equalise and force extra time at 1-1. A late winner from Taiyo Hiraoka, the goal coming in the 113th minute of that game, sent them out. And last midweek, Okayama's tie with Nagoya kicked off and got started, but then had to be abandoned during the first half due to a very heavy rain in Nagoya. Don't think we have a confirmation yet on what's happening with that game. I'm sure it will be rescheduled, but I don't think a new date's been announced yet. So without further ado, we should talk about last weekend's J2 action, round 22 of the season. So we're effectively in the second half of the season now, I suppose. It's Iwata who are still in pole position, but their 8-game winning streak came to an end away at Yamaguchi, this match finishing 2-2. The 15th place side Yamaguchi stunned their visitors by going ahead in the 12th minute. Great interplay between Yatsunori Shimaya and Kazuma Takai ended with Takai crossing for Shimaya to head past Iwata's goalie Ryuki Miura. The lead only lasted for 10 minutes though. Norimichi Yamamoto headed in Yasuhito Endo's near post corner to restore parity, and it stayed 1-1 until the 80th minute when the home side struck again. Georgi Ikigami's through ball sent their right back Ayumu Kawai clean through, and he fired into the roof of Miura's net. Iwata are clearly a good side though, and like all good sides do, they came back again to find an equaliser 5 minutes from full time. It was the Colombian forward Fabian Gonzalez sweeping in a loose ball from the edge of the 6-yard box for his first J-League goal. He'd actually only come on as a sub about a minute earlier. So it finished Yamaguchi 2, Iwata 2, Yamaguchi 8 games without a win now for them. Second place Kyoto closed the gap on the leaders to just 1 point by winning 2-0 away at Kitakyushu. This is with Shinpei Fukuoka and Shohei Takeda on target. There were just 3 minutes on the clock when Fukuoka put Kyoto in front. The ball actually hit his teammate Takuya Ogiwara in the box and fell very kindly for Fukuoka to finish. Early in the second half, Peter Utaka almost doubled Kyoto's lead but rolled his shot against the inside of the post. Utaka did set up Kyoto's second goal though, laying the ball off for Takeda to thump in a half volley from the edge of the box with about 15 minutes to go, and that's how it finished, Kitakyushu 0, Kyoto 2. Kitakyushu in 18th place at the moment, no wins and no goals in any of their last 6 matches, so they might be glad of the short Olympic break which is coming up. Niigata are 3 points further back in third place. They brushed aside Tochigi 3-0 at home. The hosts were in charge of this game by half time, 2-0 up thanks to a brace from Yoshiaki Takagi, which takes him to 9 goals for the season. For Takagi's first goal in the 12th minute, he shot straight at Tochigi goalkeeper Paul Obina Obi from Kaito Taniguchi's right wing cross, but the rebound came straight back to him and he found the back of the net from about 12 yards. Takagi's second goal on the half hour was almost a mirror image of the first. This time he converted a left wing cross from Yuji Hoshi. And the excellent Taniguchi made the point safe for Niigata, scoring in the 65th minute, lashing into the top of the net at the near post after Romero Frank had teed him up. There was still time for Tochigi to earn and miss a penalty though. Niigata's centre-back Kazuhiko Chiba got very carelessly caught in possession by their Tochigi substitute Koki Oshima and ended up hauling him down on the edge of the 6-yard box. The Niigata old boy Kisho Yano took the penalty but fired it against the post. It didn't cross the line, it went away. So it finished Niigata 3, Tochigi 0. A first win in 3 matches for Niigata, and it leaves Tochigi winless in their last 7. They're down in 17th place. There was a shock defeat for the 4th place team, FC Ryukyu, 1-0 at home to the bottom side, Sagami Hana. The all-important goal came midway through the second half at Tapic Hyogon Stadium, and it was an absolute cracker from Sagamihara's captain, Jungo Fujimoto, when a short free kick was rolled to him on the edge of the Ryukyu penalty area. He slammed it hard and low past a startled-looking Kosuke Inose in the Ryukyu goal. Ryukyu did try to rally, and they came closest to equalising when Lee Yong-jik's shot was deflected onto the top of the crossbar, but it finished Ryukyu 0, Sagamihara 1. This was Sagamihara's first win in 12 matches, and they're still bottom of the table, but now just 1 point adrift of the second bottom side, Omiya, who we'll talk about later. Kofu are, of course, fifth, their favourite position in the table. They made it 3 wins in a row by beating Ehime 1-0 at home. Kofu's goalkeeper, Kohei Kawata, turned in an absolute man-of-the-match display in this game, with his best saves coming inside the first 10 minutes. He did brilliantly to touch a shot from Yoshiki Fujimoto against the post, and then he was up quickly and smartly to block a follow-up shot with his legs. Kofu then went in front in the 13th minute, with Mendes heading home a corner kick. We have to say there was less than impressive defending on this goal from both Kenta Uchida, a former Kofu player, and the Ehime goalkeeper Masayo Okamoto. I don't think this goal shouldn't really have gone in, should have been cleared, yes, it's Ehime we're talking about. There were more good saves from Kawata in the second period, denying Fujimoto again with his fingertips, and then making a good parry from an Ehime header late on. So it finished Kofu 1, Ehime 0. 3 straight defeats for Ehime, so they slumped down to a 20th. I also noticed they have the worst goal difference in the division now. There was also a 1-0 home win for the 6th place side, Montelio Yamagata, who beat Matsumoto thanks to a goal from the in-form Kota Yamada. The Matsumoto goal led a charmed life in the first half of this game. The visitors nearly scored an own goal when the ball ricocheted off one of their players, but the post came to the rescue. And then a Matsumoto defender also had to clear off the line from a Masamichi Hayashi shot as Yamagata applied some pressure. The deadlock was eventually broken 5 minutes into the second half when Hayashi released Yamada with a nice outside of the foot pass. Now, Yamada's attempted cross hit a defender and looped into the net, so I'm not sure how he's been allowed to claim this goal. It looked like an own goal for me. So I don't think the ball was going on target, but yes, J-League has its own rules for this kind of thing, so we can say it's 3 goals in 3 games for Kota Yamada. Matsumoto had some headed chances to get back onto level terms. Kunitomo Suzuki saw an effort cleared off the goal line, and Kyowan Hoshi headed just wide late on, but it finished Yamagata 1, Matsumoto 0. 5 straight wins for Yamagata, who have been in superb form pretty much since Peter Klamowski took over as coach. Some Twitter questions and comments from Charlotte Patterson and Alan Gibson on this. How high do we think Yamagata can go? I tend to agree with what Alan and I think Martin Spivey said, that I think at the moment they're 8 points off the automatic promotion places. It might be too big a gap for them to make up this year, and they have some really big matches coming up, don't they? They face Iwata away this weekend, which we'll talk about later. Then they have to play Nagasaki and Ryukyu in August, followed by Niigata and Kyoto in September. I think by the time they've played that Kyoto game, we'll have a much clearer idea of where Yamagata are. But I think, even though they're in great form at the moment, yes, I think they've just got too much to do to break into the top two this season. But it wouldn't surprise me to see them end up third or fourth if they can maintain the form that they have now. But yes, it might be a really exciting for them season for them next year, you have to think. Machida Zelvia are up to 7th. They came from behind to beat Mito 2-1 at home. Mito went in front midway through the first half when Shota Fujio, on loan from Seretse Osaka, fired straight through Machida's goalie, Koki Fukui. That was Fujio's first goal for Mito. Machida were level 5 minutes into the second half. A piercing through ball from Kaishu Sano sent Shusuke Ota, a half-time substitute, racing clear. And there was a very cool finish from him to make it 1-1. And Machida completed their comeback with a goal in the 64th minute. Chong Tize scoring for the second time in 2 games after Ota volleyed a deep cross back across the face of the goal. Fair play too to Machida's goalkeeper Fukui. He made a very smart late save from a Mito header to preserve that lead. So it finished Machida 2, Mito 1. Machida with 3 wins from their last 4. Mito in 12th place don't have any wins from their last 4 games. Another side that might be looking forward to the short Olympic break coming up. Nagasaki are 8th, they conceded a late equaliser in a 1-1 home draw with Omiya. The most exciting event of the first period was the referee suspending the game due to a thunderstorm in the 42nd minute. After play resumed, the first half ended 0-0. We should mention Nagasaki playing in their very, very nice summer special kit for this game, but it finished, the first half finished 0-0. Nagasaki went in front shortly after the restart, though. In the 49th minute, a flowing team move ended with Wellington Hato feeding Seiya Maikuma, who drilled the ball across the goalkeeper and into the far corner for 1-0. It looked like that was going to be enough for Nagasaki to take all 3 points, but with just 3 minutes left, Atsushi Kurokawa scored an uncharacteristically good volley from Masaya Shibayama's left-wing cross, and that earned Omiya a share of the spoils at 1-1. Nagasaki did have the ball in the net again very late on through a Maikuma header, but it was ruled out for offside. And yes, Omiya stay second bottom of the table, but they have just 1 defeat in their last 5 matches, so there are signs that they are establishing a platform to build on. Yes, it finished Nagasaki 1, Omiya 1. To finish off the round 22 review, we have to talk about 3 draws, starting with Akita and Jeff Chiba. They drew 1-1 at the Soyuz Stadium. This game was notable for 2 things. Akita, another side wearing a very nice summer uniform for this game, and also biblical rain, especially in the second half, that left the pitch unplayable in my view. It looked more like a swimming pool than a football pitch by the end. After a goalless first period, Akita went in front 3 minutes after half-time. Keita Saito with a diving header from Makoto Fukoyan's right-wing free kick. The lead lasted just 2 minutes, though, with an instant Jeff response. It was another header, pretty predictable, given the fact that the ball wasn't rolling on most of the pitch. It was waterlogged. Asahiyada's cross was headed home by Tomoyamiki from about 10 yards to make it 1-1. The surface, as mentioned, was ludicrously unplayable, so there were no further goals. It finished Akita 1, Jeff Chiba 1. Kind of a good advert for the bloody-mindedness of the J-League when it comes to playing games that should really be abandoned. But Akita 1, Jeff Chiba 1, the final score. Jeff 10th, Akita 11th in the table, 29 points each, so perhaps a draw is the most predictable outcome here. Tokyo Verdy drew 2-2 away at Gunma. Verdy were in front at the break in this game, thanks to a well-taken Jin Hanato header from a Yuhei Sato cross, that goal coming after half an hour. The game turned around in the second half, though. Gunma scored twice in the space of 6 minutes. Firstly, the equaliser came on 54 minutes with Toshiya Tanaka's low ball into the box being side-footed home by Yuzo Iwakami from 12 yards. Shortly after that, Justin Toshiki Kinjo's deep cross found Akito Takagi at the far post, and he was able to fire across the goalkeeper and into the far corner in off the post for 2-1. Verdy's equaliser came in the 77th minute, and it was a long-range pot shot from Koken Kato. It seemed to deceive Gunma's goalkeeper Keiki Shimizu. He got both hands to the ball, but it still somehow ended up going past him and into the net for 2-2. And that's how it finished. Gunma 2, Tokyo Verdy 2. Verdy stay 9th in the table. Gunma move up just slightly to 19th, still inside the relegation zone, but just by a single point. They were on a run of three straight defeats before this game, and of course they changed managers earlier this month, Ryosuke Okuno being dismissed and Kiyokazu Kudo taking over. So I don't know if he might be happy to get a point and end a run of three straight losses. Might be disappointed that Gunma were in front and didn't hold on for the win. And last and probably least for the last weekend's action, Kanazawa and Okayama drew 0-0. This game had some chances but never really seemed to catch fire. The best chance fell to Kanazawa's Kyohei Sugiura. That was midway through the second half, but his shot was blocked by a combination of Okayama's goalkeeper Togo Umeda and a covering defender. At the other end, Umeda's counterpart Masaki Goto made a good block from a header in second half stoppage time, and it finished Kanazawa 0, Okayama 0. Kanazawa end a run of three straight defeats, and Okayama went into this match on back-to-back defeats as well. Maybe they'll be happy with a point and a clean sheet apiece. And they refuse to be separated in the league table as well. Okayama 13th and Kanazawa 14th. They both have 26 points. Just time now then to preview the action coming up this weekend in round 23. This is the last round before a three-week break for the accursed Tokyo Olympics. So whether we'll see teams putting out the strongest available squads because they have a three-week break coming up, or whether there's squad rotation because the schedule's been quite hard recently, we wait to see. The majority of the games are on Saturday, July the 17th. We have Tochigi against Kofu, Jeff Chiba hosting Kanazawa, Matsumoto against Mito, Yamaguchi against Akita. There's also a Kyushu derby with Nagasaki hosting Kita Kyushu at Transcosmos Stadium. The big games on Saturday, we have to mention Kyoto against Niigata, second place hosting third place at Sanga Stadium. That has the potential to be a very tight 0-0 draw or a cracker, and both sides have been letting in goals in the last couple of games. And yes, Iwata against Yamagata, so first place hosting sixth place, the other big game on Saturday. The rest of the games are on Sunday, July the 18th, Okayama against Gunma, Omiya against Ryukyu, Ehime hosting Tokyo Verdy, and a Kanto derby of sorts with Machida hosting Sagamihara at Nozita, Machida Gion Stadium. And yeah, just finally, although the Olympic break officially starts after these Sunday games in J2, there is one dirty stop out, Emperor's Cup Round 3 match coming up next Wednesday, July the 21st. And yes, Jeff Chiba will be taking on the small matter of the best team in Japan by absolutely miles, Kawasaki Frontale. Yeah, so Jeff Chiba against Kawasaki Frontale, an Emperor's Cup Round 3 game next Wednesday. The kickoff is at 6 p.m. And just to give Jeff supporters a little bit of hope, it is being played at Fukuda Denshi Arena, so it's nominally a home game for Jeff. Okay, everyone, I think that's all for me. Apologies again for the late recording, late upload this week. But I'll hand over to Mike Innes. The J-Talk Short Corner with all your J3 news is coming up next. Enjoy your football this weekend, and we'll speak to you soon. J-Talk
Extra Time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes. And in this jam-packed episode, I'll be looking back on J3 clubs' participation in the Emperor's Cup third round and on round 15 of the league season. Before the main business, a few items of J3 news since the last pod. Fujieda My FC coach Yasuharu Kurata has quit the club in the aftermath of Saturday's match against Gainare Tottori, which left Fujieda 11th in the table. A replacement has already been announced in the shape of Daisuke Sudo, whose coaching career to date is best described as successful but limited. He took over at Tottori in J3 mid-season 2018, led them to a third place finish and then quit due to family circumstances. Sudo appears not to have worked in the pro game since, but nevertheless was approached by Fujieda to take over. The summer transfer window in Japan is set to open on the 16th of July, but clubs are already announcing deals. The most eye-catching so far is Ismaila's departure from Fukushima United for Kyoto Sanga, currently chasing promotion from J2. The Nigerian, who'll be 23 during the mid-season break, joined Fukushima during the 2019 campaign, since when he's scored 26 goals in 66 J3 matches. Meanwhile, Fukushima have signed Kota Mori, a 24-year-old attacking midfield player or forward from Renofa Yamaguchi. Mori began his career with Vanfore Corfu, joined Renofa 18 months ago and picked up some playing time last year, mainly as a substitute, but has dropped off the J2 radar this season. Elsewhere, Tomofumi Fujiyama will leave AC Nagano Parseiro and return to former club Blaublitz Akita. Fujiyama, who's 27 and a defensive midfield player, began with Akita in 2017 and played three full seasons for them before joining Nagano for the start of last year. A regular first-teamer since then, the highlight of Fujiyama's time with Parseiro may be scoring the goal in last month's cup tie against Kawasaki Frontale. 20-year-old Riku Nakayama moves on loan from Corfu to provide a further attacking option at Katare Toyama. As previously mentioned on the pod, Toyama have already indicated they'll be bringing in Mateus, a 26-year-old Brazilian, most recently with FK Kukeshi in Albania. Finally in the news segment, the J-League have announced the recipients of the J3 Coach, Player and Goal of the Month awards for June. The Coach and Player prizes stem from the improvement during this time of AC Nagano Parseiro, as Yuji Yokoyama picks up the Coach of the Month and the club's attacking midfielder Yuki Morikawa takes the player prize. The award for Goal of the Month goes to FC Imabari's Jun Arima for his second and Imabari's third goal in the 3-0 win over FC Gifu in round 12. Congratulations to all three award winners. Now on to the action, and on Wednesday the 7th, J3 interest in the Emperor's Cup came to an end at the third round stage, where there were 2-1 losses for both the division's remaining representatives, Iwate Gurugia Morioka and Vanrare Hachinohe. Against Shimizu S-Pulse, Iwate took the lead with a screamer of a left foot shot by rookie Toi Kagami 7 minutes before half time. The same player almost made it 2-0 early in the second half when an equally powerful effort with his right foot was just off target. Soon afterwards, the J1 side equalised when Hiroshi Ibusuki shot through a crowded penalty area and passed reserve keeper Tomoyuki Suzuki. Suzuki later went off injured, and it transpires he's damaged his ACL and is expected to be out until spring next year. First choice Kohei Doi came on as Suzuki's replacement, but soon afterwards he and the Iwate back line succumbed to one of the goals of the round, a 35-yard rocket to win the match by Yuta Taki, a name perhaps familiar to J3 fans as he spent part of 2020 on loan at Toyama. At the Lemon Gas Stadium, Hachinohe fell behind early in the second half of their tie against Shonan Belmare via a Tsukasa Umesaki free kick that bamboozled keeper Hayate Tsuta. But something of a Vanrare specialism is the quick pass and move to unlock the opposition defence, an example of which they produced in the 63rd minute, enabling Korki Maezawa to set up Kazuma Tsuboi for a neat finish. The scoreline at 90 minutes stood one apiece, but during extra time, Shonan pressure told in the end, Taiyo Hiraoka taking advantage of some tired defending to shoot home from 10 yards. Over the weekend of the 10th and 11th of July, the J3 schedule reached its halfway stage with round 15, the last round of games before the mid-season break. In the most exciting of the three Saturday fixtures, Katare Toyama had the chance to go clear at the top of the table if they could win at Kagoshima United in their first game under new coach Nobuhiro Ueno. It was Kagoshima who started strongly, going ahead in only the seventh minute when a quick counter-attack led to Shuto Nakahara slipping a measured shot between Toyama keeper Yohei Nishibe and the post. And the home side soon had chances to extend their lead as first Noriyuki Sakemoto's well-struck effort called Nishibe into action and then Rei Yonezawa burst into the area before shooting just wide. But at the other end, some stereotypical J3 defending enabled Toyama to draw level early in the second half, Kagoshima failing to play the ball out from the back when Wesley's hopeful pass was collected by Shou Hanai, who fed Shoma Otoizumi to cross to the far post for Yohei Ono to head comfortably in for his fifth of the season. In the 80th minute, however, we saw how Kagoshima can play it out from defensive positions, Wesley this time beginning a move down the right, which ended with Takuma Sonoda's shot being tipped onto the post and Yusei Kayanuma rushing in to prod the loose ball over the line. But Nobuhiro Ueno has inherited a team which struggles to hold on to a lead, and within 3 minutes, Toyama equalised again, Otoizumi sneaking in unmarked at the far post to convert a delicious curling cross by Nobuyuki Shina. Not that the drama concluded at this point. There was still time, first for Wesley again to misplace a pass and put his team in danger, Shina's 15-yard shot being blocked and rebounding to well-placed Shunta Takahashi, whose effort was well saved by the alert Shogo Onishi. Then, in injury time, Onishi's punch to clear a free kick set up a counter-attack for Yushi Yamaya, who sprinted the length of the pitch and then, with options left and right, hammered the ball well over the bar. It ended Kagoshima 2, Toyama 2. Heading into the summer break, Gainare Tottori might be occupying last place in the table, but at Fujieda My FC, they recorded their first league victory under coach Kim Jong-song. Daichi Akiyama came within a hair's breadth of giving them the lead in the 27th minute when he raced into the area to get on the end of Takuya Fujiwara's cross, but his half volley was stopped on the goal line by Fujieda keeper Takuya Sugimoto. Early in the second half, Sugimoto was beaten by a fierce 20-yarder from Daichi Ishikawa, only for the ball to crash against the post. My FC cleared the immediate danger, but Tottori regrouped and won back possession for Taiki Arai to set up Yusuke Ishida, whose venomous shot from the edge of the D was still rising as it hit the back of the net. Emphatically, unquestionably, Gainare were in front. Fujieda, for their part, offered little going forward, and when a good chance came, in the form of a quick break that put substitute Koki Matsumura through on goal, he placed his shot wide of the post. Tottori's win was sealed under controversial circumstances, a referee Keisuke Nobori awarding a stoppage time penalty for a foul on Yuya Taguchi that the home defence protested took place outside the area. Taguchi himself converted the spot kick and it finished Fujieda 0, Tottori 2. Kim Jong-song has at least something to build on, but this was a toothless performance by My FC in what turned out to be Yasuharu Kurata's final game in charge. His successor, Daisuke Sudo, has promised to entertain. Having fielded a full-strength side that went to extra time in their midweek cup tie, it wasn't surprising to see Vanrare Hachinohe held to a home draw by Kamatamari Sanuki. Resplendent in their black and gold summer kit, Hachinohe missed a good chance to go in front midway through the first half when man of the moment Takumi Shimada was on the end of a perfect through ball by Shorchi Niyama only to shoot off target from 10 yards. In the 52nd minute, Niyama provided the assist to the game's opening goal when his clipped ball across the area was met with a superb first-time volley by Koki Maezawa, giving Takuya Takahashi in the Saniki goal no chance. But Kamatamari under Zdravko Zemunovic are more of a resilient proposition, and 18 minutes from time, Mark Ajay Kurita shielded the ball with his back to goal and then split the defence with a clever back heel, which Kazuki Iwamoto finished from 8 yards. Iwamoto's central midfield partner Masataka Nishimoto had a chance to win it for Senuki in the 90th minute, but when the ball fell to him following a corner kick, he shot wildly over from close range. Final score, Hachinohe 1, Senuki 1. Then on Sunday the 11th, the big winners, indeed the only winners in the four fixtures on the schedule, were Fukushima United, for whom Ismaila netted twice in his last appearance for the club. It was a match with a dramatic opening. Visitors FC Imabari taking a third-minute lead through Jung Han Chol, whose low shot was deflected between post and keeper's dive by stand-in centre-back Hirokazu Usami. Imabari's advantage lasted only 5 minutes, as space in their penalty box allowed Ismaila to receive a through pass from Hiromu Kamada, turn and fire in. And with barely 11 minutes on the clock, Fukushima went in front as Shoma Kamata met a half clearance with a perfectly struck shot from 30 yards which flew into the bottom corner. Yu Tokisaki's team extended their lead in the 63rd minute when a high pressing game forced Imabari right back Wataru Harada into a rushed pass out from defence. The ball came to Tokach, who from the edge of the area sent a curler out of the reach from Tomohito Shogyo and into, this time, the top corner. In injury time, Imabari keeper Shogyo crossed the line into hapless territory when, in an attempt to distribute the ball quickly to a teammate, he allowed his throw to be blocked by Ismaila, then stepped outside his area and handled the ball on the ground. With play allowed to continue by the referee, Shogyo couldn't retrieve the situation and Ismaila retained possession, skipped away from him and, into an empty net, scored his final goal before heading off to Kyoto. It finished Fukushima 4, Imabari 1, a season's best for Fukushima and therefore a timely underlining of their need to learn how to play without a talismanic, if not always composed, striker. And a season's worst for Imabari, a competitive team even when they haven't been picking up results, and in this game missing Valdemar as their own attacking linchpin. The other Sunday matches all ended level, including the weather-affected clash between promotion-chasing pair Roasso Kumamoto and Iwate Guruja Morioka. There was an odd similarity between the two goals, which both comprised attacks down the right-hand side leading to passes into space on the left. 10 minutes before half-time, Kumamoto's opener came via good work from Naohiro Sugiyama to set up Castro Tanes, whose shot eluded Kohei Doi, while 7 minutes after the restart, Iwate tied things up when Shota Yomesaka found Taisuke Nakamura, who finished confidently in the top corner. It was an eventful evening for Iwate striker Brenner, who in the first half won a penalty, took the spot kick himself only to see it saved by Yuya Sato, and then, late in the game, was sent off for a second yellow card, awarded for pushing Roasso's Shuichi Sakai in the back and then kicking the ball away. It could be that referee Shuichi Shimizu's match report will make reference to Brenner before leaving the field, striding up to the official and shouting in his face. Either way, it finished Kumamoto 1, Iwate 1. Not much use to either side as they look to move into the promotion spots. Going for their fifth straight league win were AC Nagano Parseiro, but YSCC Yokohama were in no mood to make things easy for them in a turbulent encounter at the Nagano U Stadium. YSCC skipper Kento Dorate had a good shout for a penalty as the home defence struggled with an early corner. Then Parseiro keeper Kengo Tanaka did well to block efforts from Charles Unduka and Yutaro Yanagi. In the 37th minute, the visitors' pressure paid off as Umemi Kanda converted a loose ball after Tanaka had made another save from Unduka. Going behind seemed to spark Nagano into life, and only 2 minutes later they equalised, Kakeru Suminaga's first time pass being picked up by Naoki Sanda, who sent a sweet left foot shot beyond the reach of YSCC keeper Shunkun Tani. If conventional narrative has Paseiro going on from this point to win the game, it was a script Yuki Stealth's team did not read. 11 minutes after the restart, Kanda won the ball in midfield and threaded it through to Unduka, whose shot squeezed under Tanaka and, despite the efforts of Kenta Hirose, trickled over the line. At the other end, a thumping Yuzuru Yoshimura shot hit the bar and bounced down in the goal area, but the YSCC defence put their bodies on the line and blocked follow-up shots by Sanda and Masaki Miyasaka. After taking one in the chest, sub Kei Oshiro pumped his fist in triumph. But that same defence went missing in the 73rd minute when Miyasaka lofted a free kick into the area and centre-back Keita Yoshioka headed past the exposed Tani. YSCC's Atsushi Kikutani still came close to finding a winner 6 minutes from time as he fired in a dipping, swerving shot that Tanaka did well to keep out. And a roller coaster of a game concluded with another free kick by Nagano's Miyasaka, which he inexplicably sent so far over the bar as to provoke shocked gasps from the home crowd. So their team's winning run came to an end with a final score of Nagano 2, YSCC 2. In the third Sunday draw, at home to Tegevajaro Miyazaki, Azul Claro Numazu took the lead on the half hour, Ryo Watanabe getting on the end of a Masayuki Tokutake knockdown from a corner and poking it in for his third in four matches. Miyazaki were back on level terms within 10 minutes, Kosuke Fujioka's shot ricocheting off first Tokutake and then Keigo Hashimoto for Hashimoto's fourth and luckiest in four games. Azul Claro had the better chances after half-time, but Kenta Ishii, in the Tegevajaro goal for the first time since the opening day, put in an authoritative shift and it ended Numazu 1, Miyazaki 1. The team with a bye this week were FC Gifu. So what do these results mean for the current league standings? With every team now having played 14 games, at the top of the table, it's close. Toyama and Fukushima have 26 points and indeed are separated only by Toyama having scored a single goal more. Gifu have 25 points, Kumamoto and Miyazaki 24. At the other end of the table, the bottom five are Fujieda and Numazu with 14 points, Sanuki with 13, and Imabari and Tottori 11. As J3 is now entering a 7-week break, the plan for J-Talk Short Corner is soon to record a longer form review pod looking back at the season so far, to play it by ear as regards provision of news over the summer, and then for preview coverage to return ahead of the restart with round 16 over the weekend of the 28th and 29th of August. But with all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.